Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to the fastest 30 minutes in sports. I am your host, Vinnie Moore. It is Christmas Eve, 2010. Happy holidays, everybody. May all your dreams come true as you get ready for the new year and get ready for 2011. It is week 16 in the National Football League. Are you ready? Are you ready to run it downhill? Bears, Jets, Patriots, Steelers, Chargers, Chiefs. We're going to get into all of it. We're going to talk week 16 in the National Football League. Merry Christmas, everybody, from the fastest 30 minutes in sports.
Oh, that's better than six.
Yes, it is. Welcome in. The fastest 30 minutes in sports, rocking and rolling. Merry Christmas, everybody. Wherever you are in this world, wherever, if you're going to play it back between now and tomorrow morning, it's Christmas Eve. Have you done it all? You got all your shopping done now? Your house probably smells like baked goods all over the place, or maybe it smells like ham or seasoned turkey, whatever's going on. God bless everybody listening to this show. Happy holidays. I hope everything is going well in your world. Be safe this year. Do us a favor. We want to see you back, obviously, for the new year, and see you in years to come. All right. Welcome again. Fast 30 Minutes Sports. I am your host, Vinnie Moore. A lot going on. But the biggest and the largest part of tonight's show will be about Week 16 in the National Football League. There are some crazy things going on, so let's get over and scan over the fun little annoyances, if you will, real quick, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritties of Week 16 in the National Football League. There are bowl games that have gone on so far, and most of us can't even pronounce or name those bowls anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure. It's in Hawaii tonight. I've lost track of what the name of the bowl is, but normally when Hawaii is in a bowl game, they're usually blowing out somebody, but uniquely enough, Tulsa, in Homer moment, I used to live in Tulsa, is beating Hawaii 48-28, but it's, you know, late in the third quarter, so, you know, Hawaii can put up points in a big way, so you never know how that's going to play itself out. All right, I'm going to run down the schools who played, and again, the winners and losers. It would take me another 5 minutes to sort out what bowl was played there, so I'm not even going to do that to you. I'll tell you this, Boise State beat Utah 26-3, San Diego State took care of Navy 35-14, Louisville over USM 31-28, Troy upsets University of Ohio 48-21, NIU 40, Fresno State 17, BYU a 52-24 winner over UTEP. Those are the current bowls. Now, there's some more bowls going on, I believe, Sunday, and there's some Mondays. We get into this great big – I mean, I guess Capital One's bowl week is officially beginning Sunday night with the Toledo and FIU game. There's a lot of – if you're into college football, there's a lot of good fun things coming down the pipe. But – again, so 35 bowl games that they're going to be played, so always fun. Again, a night off in the National Basketball Association, but some fun things going on tomorrow. If you're a big NBA fan, you got the noon tip-off of the Bulls and the Knicks, and for those of you who remember those classic games, Bulls and Knicks on the holidays, you know, when it was Jordan and Ewing and John Starks and Scottie Pippen and even the, you know, the Dennis Rodman, the hair and all the wackiness and Phil on the sidelines and just a lot of fun. Well, you know, the Bulls are good once again. They're currently the third seed. The Knicks are playing much better with Amari Stoudemire, so that'll be a great tip-off. And later in the day, what the nation will be certainly watching around 4 o'clock Central Time, 5 on the East Coast, when the Miami Heat take on the Los Angeles Lakers, and that will be an exciting, fun time. Of course, for the Heat, it'll be a chance to see how they match up against the defending world champions. You have a Boston-Orlando matchup around 2:30 in the afternoon. It kind of gets lost in the shuffle again. That's a big game because, as you, for those of you who follow the NBA, there's some massive trades that went on in the last 7 days. Of course, Vince Carter no longer with the Magic, now with the Suns. The Magic now get Gilbert Arenas and some other subordinate players. I'm sorry, subordinate, probably the wrong word. Supportive players. And Orlando just really dismantled San Antonio recently, as late as 2 nights ago. So Orlando's going to be playing better. Boston, the class of the East right now. Again, you also have a Denver and an Oklahoma City game later on that evening. So an entire day of NBA basketball to get your NBA your fix on. Now, to the idiocy of the day, Mississippi State. Now, if you haven't seen this, you know, if you get to an ESPN or a Sports Center, you'll see this fight that breaks out between two teammates, Renardo Sidney and Elgin Bailey, players on the Mississippi State squad. They're at a game, watching the game, trying to see who's going to win so they can see who they're going to play. And lo and behold, I guess Sydney wants to get out of the aisle. Bailey doesn't want to move his legs. And this somehow leads into an altercation. Fight, blows are thrown. And, of course, as is always the case, it's all caught on tape. All of it's caught on tape. gosh, I feel bad for Mr. Steak. Yeah, and again, as much as Sydney's come out and issued an apology, the reality is the young man's had some problems, some academic issues, some social issues, and I hope someone gets to him. I mean, apparently he was highly touted coming out of high school. Kid's incredibly talented, incredibly gifted, and a big man, in the bottom line. It's someone needs to get to him, get in his head, and let him know that this is not the way you handle things, certainly not at this level. And again, it just puts a black eye on a program that, you know, is really full of a lot of class people. Anyway, moving down. Mark Sanchez, quarterback of the Jets, is now throwing again. Some speculation he may not actually get a chance to start against the Bears, but apparently he is going to be cleared to start that game. If I'm Julius Peppers, I'm looking to have a good time because, let's face it, that Bears defense, ranked third in the league, loves to get after the quarterback. Leslie Frazier apparently is going to try to start Brett Favre in the Vikings game this weekend. In the other category of idiocy, Terrell Pryor and five other Buckeye players suspended. Now, check this out. This is what the NCAA did. They did not suspend them for the bowl game. They suspended them for the first five games of next year. Yeah. What kind of message are we sending here? All right. This is where, you know, the Peter Griffin falls, grabs me and goes, yeah, that's one of those moments when you just kind of scratch your head. I would love to have interviewed other players who've gone through NCAA sanctions or some type of, you know, discipline from the NCAA and just gotten feedback on that, because that just reeks of bad. Anyway, Diana Taurasi, big-time player coming out of UConn, two-time scoring champion in WNBA, now tests positive for stimulant. This is actually old hat. It just came out. I guess it just got to the United States, but this happened when she played overseas in Turkey. I don't know that that's necessarily big news, but, you know, somehow it's hit the wire, so there you go. Mike Vick's choice for the National Football League, MVP, himself. Well, of course, that's Vinnie Moore talking. Now, let me be clear. All right, I think Michael Vick is your MVP in the National Football League. I know there are many people out there that think it's Tom Brady, and again, you can make a great argument for that, but I don't think anyone meets Moore. Let me rethink that. As I started to say that, you know, the light went on. Well, if Tom Brady's not on the New England Patriots, you know, are they as good? Well, you know, when Matt Castle came in, when Brady got hurt, they did pretty well. They were an 11-5 team, I believe, and even though they didn't make the playoffs, they were awfully strong. You take Michael Vick off the Philadelphia Eagles, and again, I'm not hating on Kevin Cobb, but I don't know that they're the team that they currently are in first place in that NFC East. Anyway, most of you know about the blar between Donovan McNabb. The agent's been spouting off about how this whole thing in Washington was Mike Shanahan's fault. Well, you know what? You're probably very, 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 very right. Again, class act, and Donovan McNabb certainly did not deserve all the mess that he got this year, being benched, being told by the head coach that he didn't think he had the stamina or the wherewithal to make it in the 2-minute drill, as well as just not guaranteeing the man he'd be back next year. And Donovan, to his credit, you know, he has even come out and said he'd like to be back. Well, Donovan, no, don't worry. There are some teams in the National Football League that are going to be looking for a starting quarterback next year. The first two that come to mind, certainly the Arizona Cardinals. The second, of course, the Minnesota Vikings. Brett Favre is, you know, in a wheelchair, if not on crutches. I don't know what part of his body is not hurting at this point. He's a warrior and certainly a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't know how that's going to play itself out. But notwithstanding that, problems and challenges, well, if you think about it, not only in Arizona with the quarterback position, but look at the 49ers with Troy Smith as their option right now and what may happen with that. I don't know if they want to go into next season with, you know, the Alex Smiths of the world and Troy Smiths of the world as their quarterback options. So the Niners certainly are a viable option. So McNabb will have some choices at the appropriate time when that comes to pass. 10:09 on your Christmas Eve night. Let's get into your fantasy. For those of you still playing fantasy and have pushed your seasons, if you haven't already won your championship, if you haven't already been into your playoffs and you're just getting into them, as is always the case, it's become a standard here. We're going to break down your positions, quarterbacks through your defenses. So, but again, it's a Christmas Eve show. We really want to talk more in Week 16 of the National Football League, so we'll spend a lot of time on it, but we're going to give you certainly what you need. So your top three quarterbacks going into Week 16, Michael Vick, number one, with the highest projected total of 25 points. And that what that 25 points means simply is a couple of touchdowns, two through the air, and one rushing. So total of three touchdowns projected from Michael Vick in this week's game. Right behind him, Josh Freeman, projected to go off for 19 points. That's two passing touchdowns for Josh Freeman. Matt Schaub, Houston, they must love that the matchup with the Texans this week. Number four on your quarterback list, and again, I'll go deeper, obviously. John Kitna out of the Dallas Cowboys. Right behind him, Philip Rivers, the Chargers. Manning takes a dip down to number six, and again, I'm sure all that's matchup driven. The Colts have a tough matchup with the Raiders. They're on the road in Oakland. Going to be a challenging thing. Again, Peyton is Peyton, and we dub him Superman a lot of times. Right after him this week, Tom Brady. Now, I think some of this maybe, and again, I'm going to get a schedule in front of me here because I would venture that some of this may be driven by the fact that these matchups as the teams that are already in the playoffs are going to start sitting players, resting players, and that may have a genuine effect on how this thing plays itself out as we get a little deeper into the playoff. I won't say playoff pitcher, but you know, you just start to see who's going to be where, who's got what, who's facing who, and that's going to be very, 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 very interesting. As I'm looking at the schedule, Michael Vick is playing the Vikings, and that game is going to be in Philadelphia. So, okay, that would kind of make sense. Let's see. Who's Josh Freeman playing? Who are the Buccaneers playing? They got the Seahawks, and he's at home. Okay, that would almost make sense. The Houston Texans. Why is Matt Schaub getting all this love? It is because they're playing the Broncos, even though they're on the road. So, yeah, they're getting some love. Always fun when our teams, again, the match, so much is matchup driven and this time around in the National Football League. All right, so let's see. We've taken you 3, 6, Tom Brady 7, David Garrard of Jacksonville's 8, Drew Brees is 9, and oh my God, I knew I shouldn't have done this, but the number 10 projected quarterback this week is Rex Grossman. This is one of those. Which version of Rex will you get this week? Has he sold you yet? Rex Grossman projected to go off for 15 points. That would be two touchdowns from Sexy Rexy, as he was once called in Chicago. Well, they get Jacksonville, who's been suspect in the secondary, so why not, I guess? Y'all forgive me. I can't do it. I mean, I was here when Rex took and the Bears went to the Super Bowl, and in a game that the Bears certainly should have won in the 06 Super Bowl against the Colts. And again, blame it on small hands, blame it on the rain, blame it on whatever you want. But he was the quarterback when you're running the ball down the Colts' throat, you got control of the game, and all of a sudden, as is often the case with Rex, you find a way to screw things up. So anyway, that's one old Bears fan's perspective, so we'll let that thing go. Let's move on to the running backs for Week 16. Arian Foster is your big opportunity this week. Number one on the chart, projected at 26 points for Arian. That would be two touchdowns and the possibility of even a receiving touchdown. So Darren McFadden is your number two. Again, he gets that Indianapolis defense, and McFadden and the Oakland Raiders can run the football. Number three, Jamaal Charles, get a chance to play at home as your number three option. Kansas City is at home. Number four, Steven Jackson. The Rams get a little love in the running game this week. Take a look at that. Rams are playing the 49ers. They're at home, so by all means, there's a big-time opportunity there. Ray Rice, the Baltimore Ravens stud running back, comes in at number five this week. The Ravens play on the road in Cleveland this week, so certainly some love there for Ray Rice. Maurice Jones-Drew, Jacksonville. Ahmad Bradshaw, the Giants. Rashard Mendenhall. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Chris Johnson comes in at number 9 at Tennessee. And rounding out the top 10 this week is our buddy Peyton Hillis, who's back in the fray. Again, projected to go off about 75 yards rushing and a touchdown. He may even get one in a little out pass, so don't be surprised at that. So, top 10 running backs: Aaron Foster, McFadden 2, Jamal Charles 3, Steven Jackson 4, Ray Rice 5, Maurice Jones-Drew 6, Ahmad Bradshaw 7, Rashard Mendenhall 8, Chris Johnson 9, and Peyton Hillis. There's your top 10 in your running backs. Taking a look at your wideouts for those of you still in the hunt looking for some cash this weekend. If you don't have him and you can't get him, I feel sorry for you, but Vincent Jackson of the San Diego Chargers is your number one projected wideout. Right behind him, Dwayne Bowe of Kansas City. Greg Jennings comes in at number 3. Reggie Wayne needs to have a big game for Indianapolis this week. Comes in at number 4. Larry Fitzgerald of Arizona, he gets some love this week. I'm not sure who's going to throw him the football, but it doesn't matter. He gets some love. That's got to be matchup-driven. Brandon Lloyd of Denver gets some Lloyd. He's gotten a lot of love this year, but hopefully Brandon gets a big-time contract. He wasted a year here in Chicago before he went to Denver, and him and Kyle Orton are just on the same page. It's a wonderful thing. Miles Austin steps in at your number 7 spot this week. Calvin Johnson, your number 8. Stevie Johnson, your number 9. Stevie Johnson, for those of you, if you have to choose between your wideouts and you've got a Mike Williams or a Stevie Johnson to pick from, take Stevie this week. Mike does come in at number 10 this week on the depth chart for a top wideouts, but I like Stevie Johnson. I mean, the man got emotional about dropping a ball in an overtime game he should have won. You very seldom see an NFL player cry like that, but, I mean, he was in tears over a dropped ball. He said he wouldn't even get over it, but hopefully someone got to him and he got over it. Let's run down your top 5 tight ends. At 10:16 on your Christmas Eve, Jason Witten's 1, Owen Daniels 2, Vernon Davis 3, Mercedes Lewis 4, and Aaron Hernandez number 5. Now, historically, it would have been Gronkowski. Again, your guy that's done so well this year, but Tom has suddenly found some love for Aaron Hernandez. Again, big target and gets a lot of a lot of action right around that goal line. So when they're in the red zone, Aaron Hernandez does become a target. Mercedes Lewis in Jacksonville is also starting to get a lot of love from David Garrard when they get inside that 20. Vernon Davis, Owen Daniels, and Jason Witten, again, those have just been staples basically all year long. On your defenses, well, if you didn't have them when they played Carolina, the Steelers certainly were your number one choice. Green Bay's your number 2 choice, and I got to tell you right now, that is matchup driven. But I'm not sure I quite get that, because the Giants, who Green Bay plays this weekend, they run the ball really, really well. And when you run the ball, you can usually control the clock and control tempo. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays itself out. New England's your number 3 defense, followed by the Bears at number 4 this week, the Lions 5, the Ravens 6, Rams 7. The look down the list, again, Packers, again, that's matchup driven, but I'm not sure if I quite understand why the pundits have them so high. Patriots 4, they get the Bills this week, so I guess that makes sense. But the Bills have put up 34 points on the Ravens, so another one of those moments. Again, the Jets and the Bears are both in the top 10. Again, the Bears rank 3rd in the National Football League. The Jets rank 5th. I don't know how much scoring. This Bears-Jets game at Soldier Field this weekend could be a 9-6 game, a 13-10 game. I've heard pundits go as high as 20-19 with either team pulling that one out. So going to be very, 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 very interesting to see how that all plays itself out. Also, I want to do some fun things while I've got you kind of poking away. Remember, it is Christmas Eve, so if you're not calling me at 619-639-4747, that's okay. Again, I actually don't expect anyone to call simply because it's Christmas Eve. I think I might be a little mad at you if you called me when you're supposed to be spending time with your family or your children, you know, or doing something, you know, along that line. But I certainly want to celebrate the National Football League in Week 16, which is upon us. And I think it's incredibly, incredibly important that most of you spend quality time with your families and get ready for what is hopefully going to be an exciting weekend of sports activity with your basketball going on, with your football going on, just a whole lot of good. Can I say good enough? Good stuff going on in the sports world this weekend. I don't know that it gets any better, at least. Well, yeah, from time to time, my friends over at ESPN Radio have said, you know, it's the best weekend in sports. Well, I won't go quite that far because, again, we're going to run into March Madness here in a couple of months, and that's going to be an exciting time for just about everybody. But I will tell you this. at 10:19 on a Friday night, Christmas Eve. When you play this package, you're ready for just listening to some sports talk, want to have some fun, whatever it is you're going to do, enjoy it. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your loved ones. Enjoy some great food. Do not overindulge. Do not overindulge. That is not, you know, we've had this conversation in the past. I love you too much. Please, please, please be mindful of taking care of yourselves. I want to see you back here in 2011. I want to see you happy, excited about what's going on in your world, and obviously excited about all these wonderful things. Again, we're going to transition right from the NFL right into the NBA, and we're going to do it relatively smoothly. Obviously, we're always trying to expand things and then more things to talk about. So as a show, it's over. By the way, while I'm running my mouth, since there is no lead pipe Lux Herter of ESPN Radio, which is obviously brought to you always by Peak Antifreeze. When you peak, you win. That's not going to happen tonight. Those guys are on vacation, and that's a great thing. We'll give them a break. Gives me a chance basically just to run my mouth, and for those of you who know me, I got no problem doing that. So notwithstanding that set of realities, I definitely want to share the fact that while I am an NFL homer, I have fallen in love with the NBA kind of all over again. I got a lot of different job offers to come do blogs or do other things, you know, for the National Basketball Association. And I kind of shunned it because of my affections and passion for football. And again, for as a young man who's, you know, literally building a house, working with his family, trying to get all these things done so we can simply, you know, get into our home, we stopped when there's a football game on. And it's funny. I mean, my wife, I love her to death. We stop. All right. Now, at the same time, during the basketball season, as we start to get late into basketball, late in the NBA season, almost the same thing occurs. We get near playoff time, and people are vying for positions. We're watching every game, every injury, every thumbnail, every toenail, every plantar fasciitis that's going. We're watching it all. And we're writing about it, and we're talking about it. So the fastest 30 minutes of sports will definitely have a home as we continue to get into all these wonderful things going on. Again, for the college game, you know, the bowls are going on right now. It's going to be exciting when we get to January the 10th in Oregon and Auburn, lace it all up and get that game on. I've got brothers out there in Oregon. I love you to death, guys. You know I love you. And I'm really, really rooting for the Oregon Ducks in this game. Auburn is going to be tough. Cam Newton's a Heisman Trophy winner, and that's not a fluke. That's a talented young man, but I really actually think that Oregon has the ability to put him down, put him away. Now, I want to do something for you, and actually this is kind of my ode to my love for the passion. This goes back a long time, so anyway, it's 10:22. We're going to do this. We're going to hit your VIN picks, and then we're simply going to say goodnight. So without further ado, love y'all.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game. Played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Coming now, buddy. We on our hearts all day long. Let's just kick this shit all day long.
Pick it up. Don't stop. Pick it up. Let's go. Get after the ball.
Pro football is a mirror of early America, reflecting toughness, courage, and self-denial.
There he is!
Wow! Good job!
That's what I make a play out there, buddy. Nice job.
Over, Pirate 2, ready. 45, blast!
Yeah, blast!
45, blast!
Keep on playing at this level now, huh? Keep it up, baby. Keep it up.
We're going to be here all day, baby.
Hang in there, little buddy. They're coming at you. You better smile.
This fun or what?
The game is wide open, not confined. X's and O's on a blackboard are translated into imagination on the field. It can be one man rising above the obscurity of the grim, no-glory duty of special teams. It is a lineman clawing through the carnage at the scrimmage line and devouring the quarterback.
Round right, Fox 2 run on set, ready?
The game is perpetual motion. A swirl of flying bodies in constant collision. A 2.5 hour carnival of color, sound, and action.
You got a little something for you.
There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life. And there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife.
Hey, hut, hut.
But now's the time to work and strain at a sport that tests the spirit and challenges the brain.
Come on. Let's go.
Yeah, I'd like to have 75 degrees and sunny all the time, too, but that's not football.
Do you fear the force of the wind, the slash of the rain?
We're going to play it through light and rain.
Go face them and fight them. Be savage again.
The pilot lights out.
This football team is coming into our place. We're standing in our way.
This is a game of the heart. Focus and finish.
A time for achievement. A time for purpose. A time for glory.
Do it live again.
We're doing it live.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. 10-6
last week gets us a season of 149-75. That is 6 games ahead of Warren Sapp, but only 5 games ahead of Phil Sims. And they're supposed to be the insiders. That's why players play, and the best prognosticators, well, we prognosticate. Thank you very much. Week 16 on deck. Here's my take. Panthers at Steelers. Do I even need to waste your time? Vegas had Pittsburgh by 14.5 at home. As much as I'm a homer, that's still a lot of points. Steelers obviously won the game. Look at the Panthers. And, you know, hopefully they'll play. Well, I thought they might. Well, no, they didn't. Okay, fine. I said the Steelers by 10 and wanted to be 27-3, so there you go. Cowboys at Cardinals. Cardinals should be calling Donovan McNabb. Dallas has laid the groundwork for Jason Garrett to hold on to the head coaching job. John Kitten has played well, and well enough for Dallas to place Tony Romo on IR. And the bottom line, Dallas wins this game. Dallas by 7. Lions at Dolphins. As usual, the Lions are playing hard for the city and the coach. The Lions, well, they're a fun team to watch. The Dolphins, on the other hand, an enigma. Even though Vegas loves Miami at home, I'm going to go the other way. The Lions go to Miami and shock the hopeful Dolphins by a late field goal. Lions and Calvin Johnson by 2. Vikings at Eagles. A wounded animal can be dangerous, but not in the case of the Vikings. Michael Vick will solidify his MVP run against the Vikings. You might want to get your popcorn ready. Will Brett play again? Not looking too good. You know you want to watch, and you know you want to know. Eagles by 11. Redskins at Jaguars. So the Redskins put up 30 points last week in the loss to Dallas. Has Rex Grossman restored your faith in him? Despite the 2 picks, he threw 4 touchdown passes in that game. Now the Skins have to travel to Jacksonville, who was still looking the wounds from the loss to Indy last week. Can the Redskins find Rex in a bottle and shock the Jags? Prognostication says, no. Maurice Jones-Drew and the boys will run all over the Skins. Jags by 6. 49ers at Rams. 2 sub-500 squads, and this is for a playoff spot. The Rams are the favorite, and they should be. Rams at home against the Troy Smith-led Niners. Yeah, I like the Rams and give the 2.5 points. Seahawks at Buccaneers. Raheem Morris still believes. The Bucs need this win. The Seahawks need this win, but suck on the road. So the Vegas line is 6, and that may not be enough. I'd love to be wrong. No one else but the Seahawk fans. But the Bucs are better, and they're a better team with a chance to make the playoffs. Give me the Bucs by 4. Patriots at Bills. So the Bills will get to prove how resilient they can be against arguably the best team in the NFL. As much as I'd like to call for the upset, I just can't bring myself to do it. Tom Brady is too good, and the Buffalo Bills just aren't. Patriots by 7. Jets at Bears. As if the foot fetish wasn't bad enough, the Jets have found ways to rally around each circumstance in their career this year and have found ways to win games. Against the Bears, this will be hard. The Bears have looked bad at home 3 out of 7 games that they've played there. Look for the Jets' defense to pressure Cutler all day and look for Mike March to use that good short passing game to loosen them up. If Cutler is error-free, the Bears win this game. If Sanchez is error-free, the Jets have roughly a 50% chance of winning the game. All arrows are pointing to the Chicago way. Bears by two. Ravens at Browns. So Peyton Hillis has cooled off, and the Ravens are playing at a very high level. Look for the Ravens' playoff stock to improve as they take care of business on the road in Cleveland. Ravens by four. Titans at Chiefs. Playoff fever has hit Kansas City, and the loudest stadium in the nation will be rocking as the first-place Chiefs welcome a depleted Titans squad. Look for the game to be close early. Matt Castle to Dwayne Bowe should determine the second half and the outcome. Chiefs by four. Colts at Raiders. So Indy is in the fight of their lives with Jacksonville, just waiting for the slip-up. The Raiders won't make it easy since they run the ball so well. Peyton will have to be Superman, and the Colts' D must stop the run for Indy to have a chance. With 2 weeks left, the Colts must have this game. Darren McFadden and the Raiders are not mathematically eliminated yet, so look for them to put up a great game and play hard. In the end, I like Superman by four. Texans at Broncos. Unfortunately, this one falls into the who cares column. Tebow gets his second start, and the Texans are playing for jobs next season. A fun watch if you're, you know, in one of the cities. Other than that, take a nap. Texans by two. Giants at Packers. With Aaron Rodgers off the concussion, the Packers have some playoff hope. The Giants run the ball well, but this is Green Bay outside in late December. The running game usually thrives in cold weather. The Packers' defense will need to be at its highest level to have a chance, but amazingly enough, I think it's the offense that helps the defense in this game. Packers by three. Chargers at Bengals. San Diego will put up big numbers against the struggling Bengals defense. With Ocho banged up and T.O. out, the running game will need to be huge for the Bengals. Even then, I still see a Charger team pushing hard for the playoff spots. Welcome back, Vincent Jackson, as the Chargers take it by six. Saints at Falcons. The game of the season in the NFC. Can Drew Brees rally the Saints like he did a year ago? Will Matt Ryan continue to be dominant at home? Thankfully, all these questions get answered on Monday. As for the King of Prognostication, well, let's just say, oh, when the Saints go marching in. So I'm not a homer on this one. Saints in a mild upset by three. That's how we see it going down. And remember, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Check us out every Friday night on the fastest 30 minutes in sports, courtesy of Blog Talk Radio. I'm Vinny Moore. Merry Christmas, everyone, from all of us to all of you. Happy holidays from the fastest 30 minutes in sports.